Morning. Well, the announcements are that don't forget about the Facebook phone situational opportunities. We're going to have three committee meetings this week. The property committee will be meeting tomorrow at 5:30, and the Christian Education Committee on Wednesday at 5:30, and on Wednesday also the worship committee will meet in the choir room at 7:30. Don't forget about the Mardi Gras fundraiser committee. They're going to meet Tuesday at 5:30 in the parlor. And then after worship today, the children will be gathering in the fellowship hall for a lesson on the baptism of Jesus. So, to enjoy some Louisiana King cake. And then tomorrow, in the parlor, the Presbyterian Women's Circle will be meeting at 5:30. And Jean East will be leading the women and studying Chapter 5 of What My Grandmothers Taught Me, No Men Allowed. So. And then Wednesday on January 12th at noon, the Brown Bag Bible Study will be initiated. Come with your favorite Bible, your notepad, a syllabus will be handed out, and they're going to be, Pastor will be beginning our study on Genesis. And all are welcome and encouraged to attend. And then Camp Gilmont, Mary Leah, would like any women interested in attending the Camp Gilmont, the women's retreat, February 4th through 6th, to contact her. Phone number listed in the bulletin for information about how to register and the retreat. Don't forget about, there's still some jars of jams and jellies of Andrew Peebe's. They're placed on the table in the narthex. And let the church office know of any other joys, concerns, or prayer requests.
So good to see so many people back from their trips, from their vacation trips. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, you call us with your voice of flame to be your people, faithful and courageous. As your beloved Son embraced his mission in the waters of baptism, inspire us with the fire of your Spirit to join in his transforming work. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the bulletin to the call to worship. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Do not give The Lord be with you.
Let us worship God. Please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 482, Baptized in Water.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to go to the throne of God asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence, let us go to God. In the waters of baptism, O God, you have cleansed us and claimed us. Forgive us for refusing your grace and rejecting your name. We have followed our own paths and they have led us far from you. Help us to live into our baptisms, to trust that all we need is in you, for you have marked us as your own, loving us without limit. Wash us with your love again, that with clean hearts we may go in the way of Jesus. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. As shown in the waters of baptism, we are made clean in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. We are new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Prayer of illumination. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive understanding and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Old Testament scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Will the children please join me up front? This is awesome. I think this is a new record. This is great. Lillian, you're being so good with Samuel, being patient. That's fun. You know, one thing that all Christian churches have in common? What can you think of? You know, all Christian churches have some kind of cross. They've looked to God. But you know, one thing that we all do is we baptize. We all baptize. You know, when I was earlier, when we ask for forgiveness of sins, we look to the font where there's water, the water of baptism. One thing we all have in common, we may do it a little different. Some churches like to dunk. Some like to sprinkle. Some like to use a pitcher or a shell or whatever. But one thing we all have in common is the waters of baptism, which represent that we all belong to God. And you know, one thing that was really neat was when Jesus came, instead of saying, I don't need to be baptized, I'm not sinful, he said, I'm going to join with you and be one with you. And I'm going to be baptized too. And Jesus was baptized too. So that's one sign that we have that we all belong together as one family. Not just in this building, but all Christian churches. We're all the body of Christ together because we've all been baptized. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the sign of the waters of baptism. We pray that we will always remember that we belong to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. Light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon.
Our next scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor
and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The baptism of Jesus has raised theological problems from the beginning of Christianity. Each of the gospel writers mentions Jesus' baptism, but each finds a little different way to deal with the difficult question. Why does the sinless Son of God choose to be baptized by John the Baptist, who is preaching baptism for the remission of sin? It's helpful to pause for a moment and consider what it means to be born in a sinful world. When we go back to the beginning, we see that Adam and Eve were created to live in the paradise of the Garden of Eden, a place without sin, that is, without separation from God. What made the Garden of Eden such a paradise was that they lived in perfect communion with God. Humanity was created to live in communion with God. Unfortunately, sin separates us from God. Adam and Eve being cast out of the Garden of Eden is a vivid picture of the effect of sin. A sinless environment is living in perfect harmony with God. When that harmony with God and God's will breaks down, a separation occurs. Living outside the Garden of Eden, we all live in a state of separation from God. Jesus was born into a world where humans no longer lived in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was born into a world separated from God. Jesus was born into a sinful world. Jesus joined us in this sinful world. Adam and Eve left the garden where it was possible to be sinless and moved us all into a world where it is impossible to be sinless. That is, unless you're Jesus. We are in a state of sin, a state of separation from God. Baptism is a sign of God unseparating us. God washes us and reconciles with us and empowers us. By getting in line to be baptized, Jesus joins with us in the move to reconcile the world to God. Jesus joins the movement that says we should seek to live in relationship with God, and he has come to be the reconciliation of God with humanity. Luke demonstrates that Jesus was born into a family that experienced separation from God. Later in chapter 3, Luke lists the genealogy of imperfect people who were Jesus' ancestors, as if to illustrate that point. The family of Jesus included persons such as King David, who lived outside of Eden, who lived in a land separated and imperfect, yet he, like us, were loved nonetheless. After Jesus is baptized, we should note that he is not transported to the Garden of Eden. Jesus, like us, still lives in a world that is subject to sin and temptation. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus experiences the temptations to which we are all subject. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and the words of Scripture, avoids sin and remains faithful to his calling. Carol Lakey Hess, associate professor of religion at Candler Theological Seminary, observes this. Luke wants his readers to understand both that Jesus' will is aligned with God's and that Jesus cannot escape the tragic structure of the world. He is indeed the Son of Adam and the Son of God. She goes on to say, we can agree that Jesus lived within a bent system. We cannot claim that Jesus made choices in a moral vacuum. The most that even the highest Christologies can affirm is that Jesus made the best choices possible within the systemic injustice that surrounded him. Therefore, we see that Jesus' baptism, like ours, does not make him immune to temptation. Jesus' baptism, like ours, demonstrates that we belong to a community of people who belong to God. Jesus' baptism is an act of solidarity with all God's people. Jesus' baptism is a demonstration of joining the people of God where they live. As part of that community of God's people, we are in solidarity with Jesus and with those whom Jesus loves. We are in solidarity with the undeserving. We are not baptized because we deserve to be included. We are baptized because God, through Jesus Christ, chooses to include us and be included with us. Jesus joins us in our baptism. We, like Jesus, then depend on the Holy Spirit. It's helpful to remember that Luke is the writer of Acts, who tells us about Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Luke is very interested in reminding us of the role of the Holy Spirit in the life and the work of Jesus Christ, as well as the life and the work of the church. The Holy Spirit is God working to unseparate us from God. Jesus is God bringing the Holy Spirit to us in a new kind of baptism. Using agricultural imagery, John the Baptist makes it clear that Jesus is the one who is in a position to judge. I say most every Sunday, who is in a position to judge? Only Christ. John the Baptist says it this way: I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John's point is not that Jesus will be burning people in hellfire. John's point is that Jesus is the one who has the authority to do so. And what does Jesus do with fire? He baptizes with it. The image of fire on the threshing floor is not one of punishment,
but one of purification. The image is to emphasize God's purification of the wheat, not punishment of the chaff. By separating the wheat from its worthless outer husk, the wheat becomes valuable. Likewise, when that which separates us from God is removed, we become who we were created to be. Throughout the history of the church, baptism has been seen in many lights, and unfortunately and ironically, has been a practice that has separated us from one another, from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Baptism has been practiced as a means whereby original sin is washed away. Baptism has been practiced as a means whereby all preceding sin is washed away. Hence the practice of deathbed baptisms. Constantine allegedly had a deathbed baptism. Baptism has been practiced as a means of identifying with a particular group. Hence the mention in the Bible of those who are of the baptism of John or Jesus or Paul or Peter or Apollos. But by being baptized, Jesus joins with us. Jesus demonstrates that baptism should be a sign of unification rather than separation. Richard Brierley, pastor of St. Simon's Presbyterian Church in St. Simon's Island, Georgia, says it this way. We need to hear this affirmation from God, and we need to hear it from each other. These are life-giving words that every human being upon this earth should hear. You are my child whom I love. With you I am well pleased. When Jesus heard these words, they changed his life forever. They will do the same for our children, our neighbors, our spouses, our church members, and Jesus promised, even our enemies. The baptism of the Lord is a sign of unification, not separation. When we baptize, we recognize that God is calling each of us into the family of God. When we baptize, we recognize God's adoption of us as children of God into the family of God. When we remember the baptism of the Lord, we remember that we are made to be brothers and sisters with Christ Jesus through no merit of our own, but through the saving love of God. When we remember the baptism of the Lord, we remember that Jesus chose to join with us in our human condition. When we reflect on the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should note that Jesus was not baptized in a private ceremony. Jesus was baptized in front of a crowd. And Jesus was baptized by John, an act that apparently even surprised John. But I suggest to you that Jesus was making the same point that Paul makes in his letter to the Corinthians. Baptism should not be a sign that separates us, but a sign that unifies us. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Consequently, baptism is that which should unify us, not that which should separate us. When we come to the font each Sunday and we confess our sins, we remember the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, which washes away our sins and reminds us that we are part of the family of God. We are part of the family of God because God chose us. We are part of the family because Jesus chose to join us in our baptism. When we are commanded by Jesus to go out into the world and baptize, we're sharing that good news. God loves you. God has chosen you before you even knew what God is or who God is. Therefore, live as a beloved child of God who has been baptized into the family with our Lord. The further good news is that you are not alone. You have been baptized into a family empowered by the Holy Spirit. And note, how did Jesus experience the Holy Spirit? He experienced the Holy Spirit while praying. Luke tells us that the heavens opened, quote, when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, end quote. Jesus joins us in our baptism and in praying for us and praying with us. Now that we see that Jesus joins with us, may we also join with Jesus in being the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit and prayer. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in your bulletin from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? God's sovereign love is a mystery beyond the reach of the human mind. Human thought ascribes to God superlatives of power, wisdom, and goodness. But God reveals divine love in Jesus Christ by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the folly of the cross, and goodness in receiving sinful men and women. The power of God's love in Christ to transform the world discloses that the Redeemer is the Lord and Creator who made all things to serve the purpose of God's love. Now please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 375. Shall we gather at the river?
Thank you.
Please be seated. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray.
Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. Amen.
Please be seated. Let's pray.
Joining our hearts and minds in prayer, let us call on the name of the Lord, saying, O God of grace, we pray for the church. Make us a people of your word and spirit, so that we may live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. O God of grace, we pray for the world. Gather up all the lost and forsaken from the troubled places of the earth. Redeem and restore their lives. O God of grace, we pray for our communities. Help us, like John, to point to Christ, preparing the way for your holy realm of righteousness and justice. O God of grace, we pray for the earth. As we are washed by the waters of baptism, help us to find new and better ways to keep our earth and our water clean. Guide us in the ways of pure and righteous living. O God of grace, we pray for loved ones.
support those who are suffering. Let them know they are precious to you. Call them by name and hold them close. O God of grace, mighty God, strengthen your people so that we may live in the world as those you have chosen and called through Jesus Christ our Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 314, Christ Be Our Light. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Live as a member of the family of God, baptized with the same baptism as our Lord Jesus Christ, who joined us in our human condition. Live through the Holy Spirit and prayer as Jesus taught us. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.